written the title on the board, McPrayer. If you will turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, the first chapter. Very familiar story that probably all of us and the young people and children can recite, the story of Hannah. She had a desire to have a child. She was barren. And in verse 10, it tells us when she came to the temple, said, Hannah rose up after they'd eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. In verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hannah came with a need. She came with desire. She came to the Lord and she wept with bitterness of spirit. And to me, it represents coming to the Lord and being completely open with how you feel, with the desire of your heart, without any filter. I know sometimes we can talk to each other and there's a need. People need to have filters. Don't misunderstand me. Some people need a bigger filter than what they've got. But when we talk to each other, there's a place that, you know, you're kind of guarded sometimes. Someone came up and said, how are you doing? Many times you say you're doing fine, and you're going through a very, very difficult time. But you don't just bare your soul with everybody all the time. And that's all right. But she came to the Lord, and she opened up her heart, and she exposed the raw emotion and feeling and desire that she had. And she asked the Lord, Lord, would you give me a son? And if you give me a son, Lord, I'm going to give him right back to you. Whatever prayer you answer for me, Lord, I'm going to rededicate and have the answer consecrated to you. Well, the Lord heard Hannah's prayer. And in the second chapter, in the first verse, after the Lord had given her a son, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My heart is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Isn't that still true this morning? There is no other like God himself. There is no other place to find the true answers of life except in God. There's no place to find the impossibilities that we face in life. As Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God what? All things are possible. That means when we look at things in life and we say there is no way, there is no way for this to be changed. Folks, we serve a God that is able to do all things this morning. Hannah came in bitterness of spirit, but she ended up with praise and thanksgiving, acknowledging God, there's no other like you. There is no minister, there is no body of people, there is no fellowship, there is nowhere I can go, there's no institution of higher learning that even measures to what you, God, are. And she was giving him honor and praise for answering her prayer. She had made contact with God. Folks, the Lord is interested in us making contact with Him this morning. Burden the Lord put on my heart is on the subject of prayer. And we're going to get to the title here in a little bit. But there is something that the devil knows how important prayer is. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but does the devil fight your prayer life? I wonder what would happen, what the results would be if we passed out a paper and anonymously took a survey to find out the average amount of time of prayer in your private life. I have personally been challenged recently. In my own life, I've been challenged by the Holy Spirit to spend more time in quality prayer. in quality time with God. Because folks, God, that prayer is our connection with God. That is where we make contact. Prayer is about a relationship. We talk about that serving God is about relationship. How strong is your relationship with people that you don't have much communication with? You know, communication builds relationship. And when there is a breach in communication, there is a breach in relationship. I'm interested in having a stronger relationship with God this morning. I'm interested in knowing God more for who He is. I have a great need to have more anointing. I desire to have greater power with God in my life. I want to serve Him. I want to work for God. But I need to know how to do it acceptably. And I can only do it as He gives me grace, as He gives me power. So where am I going to go for that power? Folks, our source of strength and our source of power is from God Himself. And prayer is the avenue to connect with God. That is our avenue. We have a wonderful privilege this morning of praying. Have not we all looked at prayer before as a chore? And if you haven't, God bless you. But there have been times that prayer has almost, it's a duty. We know we need to. We know we're supposed to. And so we have this little rote prayer that we pray. And we get up and we said, I did my duty. I prayed this morning. But did we make contact with God? See, prayer is not just about the words that we speak. Prayer is about connecting with God. Prayer is about communication. Have you ever been with someone that did all the talking? There have been people that have come to me and asked me a question, and I just open my mouth, and they started answering and talked the whole time. It's like, okay. I wonder if we ever do that with God. We come with our burdens. We come with our needs. We come with our desires to the Lord. Prayer is more than just us talking. Prayer is about getting quiet and saying, Lord, would you talk to me? And you know, it takes some discipline to get to the place that we can spend some quiet time with God and shutting the things of the world out and just getting quiet. I know the New Age movement, and folks, the New Age movement is not from God. I warn you all, don't even get close to the things the New Age is promoting. But I want to tell you something. This idea of meditation, do you realize that prayer has value in so many different ways in our life? Getting quiet before the Lord and giving the Creator of the universe time to just talk to us. Give Him time to answer. Give Him time to lead. Jesus, when He taught the disciples to pray, He began with the words, Our Father, which art in heaven. A place of respect. Folks, prayer is a place when we come to the Lord to be respectful of God. And He is a Father. He's filling a place in our life that He's not unmoved with the filling of our infirmities. God is moved on His throne when we approach Him and say, Father, I acknowledge that Your position, that You're higher than me. I acknowledge that You're up in heaven, and I acknowledge that You are the source of all good things. Father, would You help me? Lord, I need You to work in my life. We're living in a time where there's so little respect for earthly parents. I'm amazed sometimes. Last Sunday was Father's Day, and I preached on that one little passage, Our Father at Home. But do you know that there's so little respect given to fathers and mothers today? I listen to how children talk to their parents, and I'm thinking, who do you think you are? Young people and children, I don't know if you've ever heard this or not, you are not on the same level as your parents. There's a place that doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter whether you're my age. There's a place that my father fills that there's a respect due because he's my father. And there is something about the age in which we live that young people are getting so many are so disrespectful in arguing with their parents. Folks, the Bible teaches against that. But when we come to the Father that's in heaven, what respect and honor should we show when we say, Lord, I'm not coming to tell you what to do, but Lord, I'm coming to present myself to you, bringing, yes, my petitions, but Lord, I'm coming, as Brother Bob said, I'm coming to surrender and submit myself into your hands. Lord, teach us to pray this morning. Teach us to know how to make contact with you in a greater way. The average Christian prays 15 to 30 minutes a week. It's average prayer. One of the statistics said 15 to 30 minutes a week. There are 375 references in the Bible to prayer. Do you know doctrine is important? Biblical doctrine is very important. And anybody that says, well, that doctrine's not important, I have to say you don't know what you're talking about. Everything that's in the Word of God is important. But when we look at maybe one or two scriptures that we teach and we live and we practice, we need to do that. But if there was 375 references to something, doesn't that show us there's a lot of importance on it? There's a lot of importance put on prayer in the Word of God. And it is something that we need to learn, the power of prayer. We're not going to take the time, I'll give you the reference, but over in 2 Chronicles, in the 20th chapter, we read about Jehoshaphat. When the great army came against Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat did not know what to do. He recognized that he did not have the ability or the strength with his army to go out and defeat the enemy. And so Jehoshaphat feared, and it said he set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout the whole land. In other words, I don't know what to do. I recognize I'm limited in my ability. And he said, people, it's time to fast and pray. I remember a time I did more fasting than praying. Have you ever fasted but you realized at the end of the day you hadn't done a lot of praying? Has anybody else ever been guilty of that? I'm not eating today, Lord. I need you to work. But the fasting is that we can start shutting some of the things of the world out and taking that time in prayer and connecting with God. So Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast, and they sought the Lord in prayer. And it said, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. And you know the Lord heard their prayer? The Lord answered their prayer. They sent singers out before them to praise God and exalt Him and lift Him up. Do you know that prayer, part of prayer, is giving God praise? That's part of what prayer is. They went out and they began to praise God, and the Lord went before them and enabled them to defeat their enemy. What they could not do in their own ability. All of us have needs in our life this morning. Lord, help us to learn how to come to You, to find the help that we need. The personal struggles that all of us have. We all have weaknesses. We all have areas that the Lord is wanting us to grow in spiritually. How are we going to grow? You're going to find that the root of it is going to be found in connecting with God through the power of prayer. There is healing through prayer. We won't take surveys this morning. I can testify for myself, if it had not been for God answering prayer, I would be dead this morning. If it had not been for God answering prayer, is a good possibility I wouldn't be able to walk this morning. What changed? What did that? God did that. God did that. He heard people that were seeking Him, and in His mercy and in His love, He works. God wants to work in a greater way in all of our lives. God answers prayer still today for physical healing. But when He doesn't, it is through prayer that I know that God's wisdom supersedes the desire of my heart. And through prayer, I come to a place of peace. That, Lord, if You choose to leave me to suffer, then through prayer I find, what does the Scripture or the song say? One place I find new strength for duty. I find a place of peace in a state of prayer, even in time of suffering. Because God is not a vending machine. He's not someone we can just come up and put in the corner and push the button and get what we want. People say, well, why didn't God answer my prayer? Folks, prayer goes beyond the answer this morning. Prayer is about the relationship. I've seen people suffer physically right amongst the saints, and their testimony was, I'm trusting the Lord. But they were as carnal people as they did. Their marriages were a mess. They couldn't get along with their companion. And yet they said they were trusting God. Trusting God is about relationship. Trusting God is about praying and seeking the Lord for peace and for victory and for grace to live a godly life. And if the Lord chooses not to heal me physically, it is through prayer that we can be at peace with that and say, Lord, Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Where do we find that kind of peace? Folks, it's through connection with God. Think about David when he was running from Absalom and he was distraught. And people said, there's no help for thee in God. And David, and you can find this in the third psalm, it's a beautiful psalm. David said in the fourth verse, he said, I cried unto the Lord. In other words, I prayed. I sought the Lord. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. And I laid me down and slept. And I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. He was so troubled in his mind, but when he cried to the Lord in the middle of his problem, he was able to lay down and go to sleep. How many times do we wrestle and struggle with the burdens of life and we're just not at peace in our minds and our spirit? There is a place in the Lord this morning. Lord, help us to know how to get to that place. To come and cry to the Lord. I've been there. David was running for his life. He was distressed. But he found a place in the Lord through prayer that he was able just to relax and say, Lord, I'm going to trust You now. There are so many things that are outside of our ability this morning to change. Have you ever tried to change someone? How's it work for you? It doesn't. But do you know that prayer, even when we are praying for other people, that the greatest, there are so many positive results that come through prayer because the Lord can start changing me. He can start giving me a peace. He can start giving me a rest as I learn. And I'm still learning. As I learn to say, Lord, I can't change the situation. So help me learn how to give it to You to be able to lay down and go to sleep. That's prayer. That is true prayer this morning. I remember times, and I believe I've shared it right here, but I remember there's such a specific time I remember that I was really wrestling with something in my mind, and I got down before the Lord in tears by my bed asking God for help. And the Lord just reached out His hand to me, and I just almost physically just felt the hand of God take me and lift me up. It wasn't something I had done. It wasn't something that I was able to do in myself, but the Lord heard my prayer, and He came down and He ministered. You know, the Lord is still in the business of ministering to hurting hearts today. He wants to minister to your needs this morning. He wants to minister to your heart. But where am I going to find that? It's going to be through prayer. Remember, prayer is connection. It's relationship. That's what prayer is. Prayer, we hear that saying, prayer changes things. It changed things for Jehoshaphat. changed things for David. One of my favorite stories, even as a child, and it still excites me today. And the Lord has answered many prayers in my life, but I still think back to Faith Stewart. Some of you have heard that story. When she was had the orphanage and the children were there, I think there were some very young children, and they were out of money and they were out of milk. And they desperately needed milk for those children. And she gathered the children in and said, "Come in, we need to pray." And they began to pray, "Lord, we need some milk." And if I'm not mistaken, it was in the middle of their prayer, there was a knock on the door of the orphanage. And there was a milk truck that had broken down outside the orphanage. And the man said, "We've had this milk, it's going to get spoiled before we get the vehicle fixed." They had milk. How did that happen? It was God that did that. It was God that did that. Folks, the Lord is still doing that today. The Lord is still answering prayer like that today. He can do that in your life. A few days before we left to come out here, we had a need, and we called the children in and shared with them the need we had. 30 minutes before we left on our trip, the Lord answered some of that prayer. How did that happen? God knows all of our needs this morning. God is able to open doors in your life, but how do we expect Him to do it? People say, "Well, God knows the needs that I have, so why pray?" Because He knows the needs, so He's going to do what He wants to do. No, God is moved by the prayers of His people. And when we pray, it's not just about the answer. It's about God working in my life because I made contact. And I want to learn to trust in the One that created me. You have not because you ask not. Have you ever struggled with something and realized you really hadn't prayed about it? Have you ever gotten frustrated at something and you were ready to go do something about it and then you stopped and thought, "Wait, I haven't asked the Lord about that." And you know, sometimes the situations don't change, but the Lord brings it through prayer, through contact with God, it mellows your spirit. Have you ever found that to be true? If you haven't, you need to. It works. But it comes in taking the time to pray. Scripture, Jesus told us about talking about God. He said, and He was speaking specifically of the giving of the Holy Spirit, but I believe that encompasses a lot of territory. He said, if a son hath need of bread and comes and asks his father for bread, He said, what father's going to give him a stone? In other words, God in heaven is there to give us what we need. He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It pays to ask. It pays to ask. And the Scripture says, speaking about God, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." The first part of that verse said, but without faith it is what? It's impossible to please Him. In other words, when we come to God in prayer, we need to come believing that God is going to hear me. That's faith. That's a place that we have the doubts. Well, does God care? Saints, He cares. Is God going to hear me? He's going to hear you. And this is the reason why the Scripture says, come boldly. We have Jesus as our intercessor, but it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. In other words, come in with assurance, knowing that God is going to hear your prayer. We live in an age that we like things done quickly. Do you all agree? When we want something, we want it now. What would you all do without microwaves? You know, if you want it hot, you want it hot now. If you want it, you want something quickly. Unfortunately, people have that in their spending habits as well. Oh, I like this. It's a great sale. And so they buy, I want it now, and they don't have the money, so they put it on credit. That causes lots of problems, doesn't it? Well, that's the age that we live in. People want it and they want it now. Well, you know, McDonald's knows that. And so they ran it 2 years ago in Florida, and they were running it actually in Nixa, where we live, at breakfast time. In Florida, they at lunchtime, a couple years ago, they had a 60-second guarantee. You placed your order, and this was during their lunch hours, and you came up to pay, and they would give everybody a 60-second hourglass. And if you didn't have your food within 60 seconds, they'd give you a coupon for a free sandwich or a free meal at your next visit. 60 seconds. At home, we have that going, and it may still be going. At breakfast hours, I think it was a two-minute guarantee. That they guaranteed your breakfast in 2 minutes, and you place your order. That's pretty phenomenal, isn't it? Do you know sometimes we look at God like McDonald's? We don't want to wait to put in our order either. I'm hungry, we come in, and it's like, what's wrong with these people in front of me? They've been there for 30 seconds. Why don't they hurry up and we get in line, and then we come up there and we expect, oh, why should I have to wait on French fries? They know that there's a need for French fries. Why do you have to wait for 5 minutes for hot fries? Something's not right about that, right? Isn't that how we think? We look at God like McDonald's too many times. We come to Him and we just put in our order. This is what I need. And we expect the results to be immediate. And we go on our way. I prayed. I put in my order. Why isn't God answering? And so that is what we call this morning a McPrayer. I wonder, how are we really praying, or is it a McPrayer? I won't ask how many of you all prayed this morning. How many of you prayed and how many of you had to make prayer before you came? In other words, I did my duty. I got down and prayed my 60-second prayer. And I got up and I expect that that's going to really change the course of my day. Don't misunderstand me. A 60-second prayer can move God. Don't misunderstand me. But do you know that if that's all we're having is 60-second prayers, if that's what our life is full with, we're looking at God like McDonald's, folks. And there's a place that we need to realize it's not about the McPrayer. It takes some time to have a spirit of prayer. It takes time to petition the Lord and seek God and then give Him time to talk back to us. The importunate woman that came to the unjust judge, Jesus told that story, trying to teach us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, don't get weary of coming to the Lord. I know at prayer meeting, and I know we had a long wait here this morning before someone prayed, but I know in prayer meeting, I do know how it is probably in your places. But you know, a lot of times, Brother James Bell, I still remember him talking about prayer meeting. And he said, we sing the song Sweet Hour of Prayer. How long has it been since you had a sweet hour of prayer? I mean, there's a lot of short prayers. And what we sometimes think is, well, someone already prayed about those requests. But prayer is about petitioning. Prayer is about seeking the face of God. It's about seeking the throne, seeking Him on His throne. And it's all right to pray, petition, repeatedly. That's okay. That's what Jesus taught us to do. There's a song, and I don't know the verses of it. Maybe we could sing a chorus of it. Some of you all know, help us pray on till the answer comes. You can just lead us in the chorus of it.
Pray on till the answer comes. Pray on till the answer comes.
Lord, help us to pray on until the answer comes. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't walk away, but let's keep praying. Let's keep seeking. Let's not be content. And I think you all know what I'm talking about my prayers. But I think we've all prayed them. The Lord's looking for connection this morning. He's looking for us to make contact. And I think about the length of prayer You know, Jesus didn't tell us how long to pray because Jesus prayed less than 60 seconds when he was teaching his disciples to pray. But we also find times that Jesus prayed all night long, opening up his heart, seeking God to submit himself to the will of God. And it didn't come by one prayer. It said he went a little further and he prayed again. And then he prayed a third time. In other words, folks, in areas that we're struggling with, it doesn't always come by one trip to the altar. It doesn't always come by one prayer. Lord, I'm struggling with bitterness against this person. Help me to forgive them. Okay, I prayed my prayer. Now, Lord, do your job. I find that things like that, sometimes they take seeking God repeatedly. Lord, would you work in my life? I need you to do something for me, Lord, and not to give up until the answer comes. Jesus told his disciples that it wasn't like the Pharisees who prayed long prayers to be heard of men. It's not about saying, well, let's see, I got how long do I need to pray? And I'm going to pray long prayers. One of the knew a man that prayed, I believe it was 3 hours a day. And he was in my congregation one time. And you would think someone ought to be pretty spiritual if they prayed 3 hours a day, wouldn't you? The man's backslidden. And in the middle of his 3 hours prayer, he refused to accept godly counsel that we gave him. And he lost his soul. He prayed 3 hours a day. Somewhere he wasn't making contact. Somewhere, I don't know what his prayers were like. I don't know. But I know that when we make contact with God, it starts changing us. It starts changing us. So it's not just about the time and the devil is fighting. It takes time for us to get in the presence of God sometimes. That's why Jesus told us in Matthew 6:6, he said, when you pray, enter into your closet. It wasn't meaning literally, but it meant get in an isolated place with God. That you can have quiet time with the Lord. And I am so thankful that we can pray anywhere. We can pray driving down the road. You can pray in bed. You can pray on your knees. You can pray. Let's not be lazy with our prayers. Don't misunderstand. Brother Michael said I could just stay in bed and do my praying there. But do you realize I've done a lot of praying in bed? And I'm thankful for it. That doesn't take away from that time that we set aside to get on our knees before the God of heaven. But prayer is something that ought to be just a regular part of our life. This is what he meant when the apostle said, pray without what? Ceasing. He was saying, have a spirit of prayer and a connection with God that you're talking with God just throughout the day. You know, I talk to the Lord throughout the day. He's such a part of my life. I'm not crazy. But there's talking with God and listening to God just in what happens in life. The Lord is right there. And that's what I want to stay in, that spirit of prayer. But yet still taking the time to shut out the world. To shut it out and seek His face. Scripture said, let's consider the spirit of prayer for a moment longer. When James 1:5-16, he said, confess your faults one to another. He said, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Here's what I have found in my own life. When I pray and make prayer, it's not real fervent. It's a duty. I need to pray before I leave the house, so I'm doing my McPrayer and I'm going to get on the road. And it's usually not real fervent. Folks, the Lord is looking for fervency. An openness to the Lord that He could work in our life. I'd like to just touch briefly on the components of prayer. Part of when we pray, one of the first things that we need to remember when we pray, we connect with God, is praise. It's giving God praise. And sometimes we don't equate that with prayer. But praise is prayer. It's acknowledging God for who He is. And I know that it's very tied with thanksgiving. But prayer is something that is very vertical to God. It's honoring God for who He is and for what He is. And that kind of prayer is important. And you know, that's when we can come together, even collectively, and we sing songs of vertical praise to the Lord, that God is honored in that, and that is a form of prayer. That, Lord, we're acknowledging you as our Father, and we praise you for who you are. The scripture in Psalms 104, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." This is how we are taught to enter into connection with God, is through praise. And there's the songs in our book that talk about praise him when the clouds above us hover. Have you ever been there? Entering into a spirit of praise, folks, it drives the clouds away. And the clouds may be out there, but I'm talking about the clouds in here. Because I've got my eyes off of situations, and my eyes now are on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My eyes now and my trust is in God himself. So praise is one main component of prayer. Another main component of prayer is thanksgiving. That we come, as the scripture says, let your requests be made known unto God. How? It's with thanksgiving. So with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, we're not just coming to God as, I'm going to put in my quarter and I'm going to get out what I want. But Lord, I'm going to take some time. How long has it been since you've taken time just to praise God? You know what the scripture says? That men ought to pray always, lifting up what? That's a scripture. That's not from the book of Michael either. This is from the Word of God. He said that men ought always to pray, lifting up holy hands to the Lord. I've been in countries where they actually do what the Bible says there. They actually lift up their hands in prayer, in adoration and praise to God. Lord, help us to know how to give you praise from the heart, that acceptably, in decency and in order, that we can lift up our hands as we lift up our hearts and as we lift up our lives before you in worship. So we ought to pray with thanksgiving, and then let our requests be made known unto God. I want to encourage you all in your prayers, pray specifically. You know, when we pray collectively, we pray kind of generically, and that's in order. There's a time for specific prayers. There's a time for... But when you really get to business with God, it's important not just to say, Lord, give me grace for the day, in Jesus' name, amen. But to seek Him for the places that you know you struggle with. Lord, you know, this has been a battle for me, and keeping my mind off of this thing. Or, you know, Lord, the music I've been, that's such a pull. Or, Lord, you know, this person has been such a trial to me. Lord, would you help me today? To have the grace to forgive and to not allow the frustrations of life to cause me to lose my joy. Lord, today in this weakness, specific weakness that I have, Lord, would you help me today to have victory? Do you know if you start praying that way every single day, that's where you start seeing spiritual growth in that part of your life? It doesn't come from the prayer. It comes from specific seeking God for specific needs in our life. And if there's someone that you're struggling with an attitude about, I found it works. Start praying for them specifically. Not, Lord, just help them to see themselves and who they are and turn them around. But start praying positively for that person. And you realize when you see them the next time, you've got a vested interest in them because you've been spending time in prayer for them. It changes this. It changes inside of us. So let your requests be made known to God. Praying for the physical needs of people, spiritual needs in your own life, for others. If you have a lack of wisdom, we're taught to ask for it. Taught to pray. And one of the other main components is just meditation. And that's quiet time. That's just in getting quiet before the Lord. And you know, when you first, I don't know if everybody does this, but I want to encourage you next time, I'm not talking about this mid-prayer now, but when you're ready to really pray, spend some quiet time. And you know, it's kind of tough to start with, because you're going to find that all kinds of things just start coming in your mind when you get quiet. But do you know that the more that you spend time in your closet,
you can learn in your spirit and in your mind to get quiet and allow the Lord to start talking to your heart. You get up from that kind of prayer and you want to talk about being ready to face the day. I'd like to close with answering a question. People say, when are we supposed to pray? When? You know, it's just a good thing before you face your day to take some time with God. But do you know, I know that with life that we live, that sometimes maybe the morning isn't the best time for you to have your more in-depth times of prayer. It pays to seek God. I want to encourage everybody to pray before you leave the house in the morning. But what's more important than trying to spiritualize a certain time? Say, if everybody would get up at 3 in the morning. It doesn't teach us that in the Bible. There's a place of the early morning hours when things are still quiet. There's value in that. But what has the most value is you, whatever time works for you best, setting aside time to really pray. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. And if you feel like sometimes the devil comes and beats you up and says, well, you didn't pray today, there's an answer to that. I tell many folks, I said, don't let the devil beat you up. Say, well, thank you, devil, for reminding me. I'll go do that right now. And just go pray. Don't live under this cloud of, well, I didn't do it like I should have, or I forgot. Thank you, devil, I'm going to go pray right now and take care of it. And seek the Lord in time and prayer. You know, it does take spiritual discipline. I know that we talk about duty. There is a place for duty in prayer. Because it takes regular discipline to set aside time to seek the Lord. But when we set that aside of time, I would just want to encourage us in closing. Let's find some quality time with God. I believe that there would be more spiritual victories. I believe there would be less frustrations in our days. I believe that there would be more love amongst God's people. I believe there would be more understanding. I believe that there would be less strife and less carnality. I believe that we would see God, people would be growing more spiritually. God would be blessing physically and temporally more if we can learn how to come into the presence of God and say, Lord, I want to stop with the mixed prayers. And I want to learn how to pray to make contact with God. Folks, lives are changed. Our life is changed when we get on our knees and find a connection with God. Amen.